All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So our shir this morning is dedicated by Malka and Sammy Esterson, all of the shiurim of this month, in memory of their parents, Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchak Leben Aaron HaKohen, and Hinda Esterson, Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We also have sponsored by Fega Henya Bas Chavan, gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this chus for refuah shleima for the cholim in our community. And we have a late-breaking sponsorship of Baruch Fischel and Sonia Kozlovsky in honor of the engagement of Orly Haken. Mazel tov, mazel tov, we should be simcha. Mazel tov, mazel tov, you can RSVP to the CM on the WhatsApp chat, you know, Amir Tashama. But no messages. Private message. Mazel tov. All right, so let's begin. We have a beautiful daf today. Today's daf is Yud Test 19. We are picking up the last three words on Yud Ches Amud Beis Rabbi Akiva. So remember again, in yesterday's daf, we began exploring the last three shitos in the Mishnah, which at first glance seem to have an incredible amount of overlap, and the Gemara is slowly but surely unraveling each of these shitos. And also thank Yehuda for giving yesterday's shir. Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, Aidi deboy, so we'll say, how do we explain the shit of Rabbi Akiva? Aidi deboy, top of your test. Aidi deboy lemichtov behema v'chaya l'chidu Rabbi. So we'll say, remember again, Rashi points out, back on Zayin Amud Aleph, so we discussed the shit of Rabbi, why the Torah has to quote both Behema and Chayo. So just like according to Rabbi Akiva, just like by Rabbi required ultimately the Torah to write Behema and Chayo, ultimately again because of the different limudim that came from that. Therefore again, Ksiv Nami Sheretz. Ultimately again, the Torah feels compelled to also isolate and specifically highlight Tumas Sheretz. Ki Detarna Debe Rabbi Shmuel, as we learned, as the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel taught, called Parsha Shene'em Rav Nishnis, any section of the Torah that was taught and then reviewed, lo nishnis ella b'shil davar shenis chadish ba, was only reviewed ultimately again for some type of novel ruling that ultimately was advanced. Rabbi Eliezer, what does Rabbi Eliezer do with the word ba? Now remember again, he's referring to the pasuk, O hoda elav chato so asher chato ba. If he becomes known, right? This is the pasuk by the Asham Taloi. A person goes ahead and becomes tamei, doesn't realize his infraction, and then later on realizes his infraction. Asher hoda ba, asher chato ba. What do I need the ba for? So this is actually amazing. Prat lemis asig. The ba comes to teach me an exclusion by the case of misasek. What's the case of misasek, Rabbosai? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. This actually is an interesting principle, not just over here by our Gemara, but in general halacha, the concept of misasek. Take a look at Rashi, second line from the top in Rashi. Pratlim misasek, bidavar heter ubali yado iser. If a person was involved in something that is prohibited, and in something that is permitted, but inadvertently did something prohibited. What's an example of that? So just a simple idea in general. Let's say Behilchos Shabbos. So that kotzer, right? Cutting. So okay, darum mokim gedula, uprooting something from the place where it grows is one of the lamites malachos. So let's say a person is cutting stuff, but his kavana is to cut something which is detached. So niskavin lachtoch es atolush v'chotach es hamechuber. But he accidentally goes ahead and ends up cutting something that is attached. So my intention is to cut up a cucumber that's detached. I end up going ahead and cutting a cucumber that's attached. So what's talocha? So this is an interesting one also. Niskavin lishto varich achosa ima b'mita. Man has intentions to have relations with his wife, but his sister is there as well. There's no need. This is a monologue here. So his sister is with him in the bed as well. And ultimately, again, stuff happens and he ends up He ends up having relations with his sister instead of his wife. We'll say, the idea is, these are exaggerated examples, but the idea is a person had kavana. No discussing this in the back. Back row. Back row. Eyes in your Gemara. So the idea over here is as follows. The example that the Gemara is bringing is the concept that in these cases, a person had no intention for anything usser. A person had absolute intention for a davar hamutter. Circumstances occurred, and ultimately a person went ahead and violated an avera. Rabbi say this is called misasek. This is different than shogeg. Shogeg means a person performed an act, and I thought the act was permitted. It turns out the act was prohibited. Here, I have intention to perform a totally valid act. Meaning, I know that relations with the sister is usser. I know that detaching something from the ground on Shabbos is usser. That wasn't my kavana. My kavana was for my wife. My kavana ultimately was for the detached item. It just turns out that circumstantially, things got a bit mixed up. But the intention over here was only to engage in something that was permitted. So therefore, in these cases, Ezu Chayiv Niska, so Rashi points out over here, Ezu Chayiv Niskavin Lachtoch Kasar V'Talo, Shunim Tzama Chubar, O Kisar Hayom Chol, O Kisar Malach Hazum Muteres, Umiko Mokom Lezun Niskavin, V'chein Baal Achosov, Niskavin Laguf Zek Kasar V'Ishto. So we'll say, this is the case of Misasek. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the word ba means that there's only going to be a chiv, even for an asham toloi, in a case ultimately again where I had kavana to do the thing that was prohibited, but either A, I didn't know it was prohibited, or B, I didn't know it was prohibited to me at that particular time. But for the case of misasek, ultimately again, one will go ahead and one will be pater for such an act. That's true, by the way, in Hilchos Shabbos as well. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Mashmos Darshan Ikomenar. What Rabbi Yochanan holds is actually quite interesting. Rabbi Yochanan holds that in general, in the Mishnah, that really the opinions listed in the Mishnah at the bottom line agree, but rather they disagree as to the drusha to arrive at their respective conclusions. So Mashmos Darshan Ikabinayu. So the Gemara says, V'chein Omar of Sheshes, Mashmos Darshan Ikabinayu, that in reality the opinions listed don't really have a substantive machlokes, rather the machlokes ultimately again is how to darshan in order to arrive at these particular conclusions. The Rav Sheshes Machlif, the Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, or the Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Eliezer, because they both say Rav Sheshes, when he used to teach these halach, would often interchange the names Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Because bottom line, both of them agree in principle, but the only machlokas between them is what? Is what to dash in order to arrive at the particular conclusion. Fine. So we'll say, now we get to another question. So Rava asks the following kasha of Rav Nachman. Rav is actually an interesting case. Helam ze v'ze biyado mahu. Rav say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Helam ze v'ze. Tuma umikdash mahu. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, the Pacha Helamikdash. So let's remember again. We have Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva saying that in the case of Tuma Sheretz, you're only chayir for Helam Tuma. You're not chayir for Helam Mikdash. So what happens? What happens if you have the following situation? You have a person who has both Helam Tuma and Helam Mikdash. Helam Tumah. So again, he forgot about Tumah, and he forgot about the fact that he's in the Beis HaMikdash. So he has both of these components, and therefore, as a result, enters into the Beis HaMikdash. Mahu. What is the halacha? Is he chayir for that or not? So Rashi says, Mahu, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, the Pacha al Helam Mikdash. Remember again, under normal circumstances, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva both will agree that if there's a case of Helam Mikdash, you will be Pater. You're only Chayiv ultimately again for Helam Tumah. What happens if he has both Helam Tumah and Helam Mikdash? Are you Chayiv or not? So Amarle, Hare Helam Tumah Biyodo V'Chayiv. So he said to him, remember again, this is Rabbi asking Rabbi Nachman. So Rabbi Nachman said, listen, bottom line, he has Helam Tumah. The fact that he also has Helam Mikdash really is inconsequential. As long as he has Helam Tumah, he should be Chayiv. Adrabak, is it just the opposite? Hare Hela Mikdash Biyado Upater. I can advance the opposite argument. What's the opposite argument? He also has Helam Tumah. So because he has Helam Tumah, it should be Potter. Amravashi, so Ravashi says the following. Chazinon, imituma kaparish, hare Helam Tumah Biyado Vechayiv. So Ravashi says the following. Let's look at when he is alerted to his circumstances, what is it that causes him to separate? So Ravashi says, if he is told if he is told, bless you, if he is told that he is tameh and that's why he leaves the Beis HaMikdash, so ultimately again he will be chayiv. If he leaves when alerted that he's in the Beis HaMikdash, then ultimately again he's departing because of Hela Mikdash, and therefore he should be Pater. But take a look at Rashi just a moment. If literally it's a result of his tumah, what does that mean? Shahodalo Pirish min ha'avera, umevi karben shaman lo tameyata. So we'll say, if he's alerted to the fact that he's potentially tamei, and that's why he leaves, then, hare ha'alam tuma biyado. Rashi says, igali milsa, shebiyaso lemikdash bishil ha'alam tuma haya. Ultimately, again, he realizes that his departure from the Beis HaMikdash is because of ha'alam tuma. If it's because of ha'alam tuma, then what? Then it'll be chayiv. Look at the next Rashi. Vimi mikdash kaparish, sha'amru lo mikdash huze. If he's told you're standing in the Beis HaMikdash, umachmas kein toa al bi'as, when as a result, he begins to second guess whether or not it was a good idea to come to this place. For lo iskiru lo tuma, and no one mentioned anything about tuma to him. If that's the case, igloi milsa to mishum ha'la mikdash nichnasa. So this is interesting. Says where the Gemara asks the following. If he has both Halam Tuma and Halam Mikdash, so the Shaila is, why is he leaving the Beis HaMikdash? Is he leaving the Beis HaMikdash because somebody mentions him, hey, you may be Tamei, in which case, again, it's Halam Tuma, in which case it will be Chayiv, or is he leaving the Beis HaMikdash because somebody alerted him to the fact that, hey, you're standing in the Beis HaMikdash, in which case it's Halam Mikdash, and he would be Potter? To which the Gemara says, Amalei, it doesn't make sense. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Klum Parish Mi Mikdash, Elam Mishum Tuma, Klum Parish Mi Tuma, Elam Mishum Mikdash. In reality, they're both interwoven. They're both intertwined. In other words, our person only leaves the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Why? Because he heard that maybe he's tamei. But a person only leaves because he's tamei. Why? Because he's standing in the Beis HaMikdash. So at the end of the day, these two yediyas are interwoven. Ela loshna. Therefore, I will say it appears based on the Gemara that it doesn't make a difference. Loshna, I will say, ultimately means that in this case, where there is both Ha'alam Tuma as well as Ha'alam Mikdash, in this case, ultimately, again, a person will be Potter. Because since both of these Yedios ultimately are interwoven, the only time really, according to Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Eliezer, you're going to be Chayiv, is when there's only a Ha'alam Tuma, not a Ha'alam Mikdash. Because in this situation, Ha'alam Mikdash plays a role as well. So it sounds like over here, the Halacha would be, ultimately, one would be Potter. Okay, so says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, she says, Eloloshna upater. Says the Gemara, turn around, we'll say, new case. Shnei Shevilin. Listen to this case. Two pathways. Echa Tamei ve'echa Tahar. One is Tamei, one is Tahar. Now, we'll say again, you understand the profundity of this Gemara even before we go on. This is not just a hypothetical case. This is Mamish Halach Lamaisa. Right? This Gemara, this is one line. This is life. Shnei Shevilin. There are often two paths in life, not really more than that. Two paths. Echa tamei ve'echa tar. One of them is tamei, one is ay, but listen to this, we'll say. V'halach b'rishon, but what's the great challenge of life? The great challenge of life often is, I'm not sure which is which. I'm not sure which is which. I know that only one is tamei and only one is tar, but often I don't know which is which. So we'll say, so what happened? Rashi says over here, echa tamei, mace cover bow. For example, ultimately, again, there is someone buried. There's someone buried on the road. V'i'ef shalahalech shalo yael. And Rabbi says, see, here's the issue. I have to take one of these two roads. So watch this. So shnei shilin, echatam ve'echatar, v'halach berishon v'lo nichnas. So watch this. I go down road A. I go down the first road. And Rashi says, Ovir, I'm just going to keep going back between the Gemara and Rashi. It's quite across. V'halach berishon, Rashi says, ve'ini yodea in betame in bedar. Now understand, I don't know which path is which. All I know is that there are two paths, and all I know is that one of them is tame, one of them is tar. I don't know which is which. I go down path number one. I don't go into the Beis HaMikdash afterwards. Okay, b'sheni. Then ultimately, again, I go down the second path, the nichnas, and then afterwards, I go into the Beis HaMikdash. So, at this point in time, what's occurred? I've gone down both of the paths. And ultimately, again, now I've entered into the Beis HaMikdash. So, what's the halacha? Chayiv. Chayiv. Now Rashi says Zer b'sheni v'nichnas v'chazer v'halach b'sheni v'yada shahalach b'shneihem. Ultimately, again, I now went down the path, second path, and I know now, as we'll say, at this point in time, I've gone down both paths. Vahari hu tame vaday. So we'll say at this point in time, one thing is clear, which is what? I'm certainly tame. V'nichnas l'mikdash pe'alim tuma shenes alim enuch tuma chayiv carbon ola v'yorit sheish kayin diya b'tchila vada. So we'll say, so here's the following case. Case number seems to be quite straightforward. I go down path number one, and I don't go into the Beis HaMikdash. I go down path number two, I enter into the Beis HaMikdash. At this point, I will say, what do I know? I'm Tomei. So I will say, and then I enter into the Beis HaMikdash, I'll be Chayiv. What am I Chayiv? An Asham Talui. I'm Chayiv an Asham Talui. Why? Because at this point in time, again, I will say, now the case, of course, presupposes that I forgot about the Tumah at the time that I entered into the Beis HaMikdash. So at this point in time, I know that I'm certainly Tamei. I enter into the Beis HaMikdash in a lapse of awareness. I bring in Asham Taloi. Fine. Next. Halach Berishon. We'll say in the second case. Halach Berishon. V'nichnas v'hiza v'shana v'tavol. Now watch this case. Case number two is, I go down path number one, and I knew that there's path number one is Safek Tamei. And then what happens? I went into the Beis HaMikdash after going down path number one. Now I will say, what else did I do after going down path number one? I purified myself with the Afar of the Paraduma. I had the sprinkling on day three, day seven, immersion in the mikvah. And then what happens? Halach Barisha Menechnas, Hiza Vishana Vitaval, Ba'achaka Halach Bashani. Then I go down path number two, Vinichnas, and then I go into the Beis HaMikdash. So I will say, what's the halacha? Chayiv. I'm Chayiv. Now look at Rashi just a moment. Chayiv. O machmas bia rishona. O machmas bia shnia. The man of shach. O bia rishona. O bia shnia b'tuma haisis. So we'll say, so really, this case seems to kind of be the same thing. Because what's happened over here? I went down path number one, and I went into the Beis HaMikdash. And then again, it's very nice. Afterwards, I did the whole process of the Paraduma. I went down path number two, and I went into the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, what's clear? What seems to be clear? Is that at the end of the day, I've entered into the Beis HaMikdash twice, one time after each of the paths. I don't know which of the paths is Tameh, but I do know what? One of them is Tameh. So the Pasha says, what do I know, Bevados? What's occurred? I've entered into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah. So again, it's a suffix. I don't know which one. And I had a lapse of awareness by both of these cases. Also remember again, I go down path number one, lapse of awareness, enter into the Beis HaMikdash. I go down path number two, lapse of awareness, enter into the Beis HaMikdash. But one thing is clear, I've gone down both of the paths, and I've entered into the Beis HaMikdash twice. So b'pashtus, once again, I'm going to be chayiv. However, again, Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon says, ultimately, again, I am Potter. Now, we'll say, now, why is this? Look at Rashi. Rabbi Shimon Poter. De'ein kan ba'achas mikulon yediyah ba'das betchila. Shaf yediyah tchila shal shvil sheni sveikahi. Shahare tahar lo mituma rishona. Imarishnu atame. So Rabbi Shimon says, I'm Potter. Why am I Potter, Rabbi Shimon? Because at the end of the day, when I go down path number two, there's not a full yediyah. Why is there not a full potential yediyah? Because it's possible that what? It's possible that path number one was the tameh path. If that's the case, again, at this point in time, I've been purified by that tumah, and therefore, when I go down path number two, it's an incomplete yediyah. Because it's an incomplete yediyah, Rabbi Shimon will say that ultimately, again, I will be potter. So again, look at that Rashi 1 second, but Rabbi Shimon just once more. Then kan ba'achas mikulin yediyah vados. He will say because again, there is no complete yediyah by either of the two instances. He says sha'af yediyah b'tchila shal shvil sheni sveikahi. Because he will say again, path number one, I don't have a complete yediyah because I don't know if I was tummy or not by that path. By path number two, also it's yediyah. It's a suffix. Sharetir lo mitum rishona im harishon hu atame. Fine. So we'll say, so here's what we've got. So in case number one, we'll say, where ultimately, again, I went down path number one, then I went down path number two. Everyone seems to agree that I will be chayiv. And then I enter into the Beis HaMikdash afterwards, I will be chayiv. Why? Because one thing is clear, which is, I'm tummy. I don't know because of which path, but I am Tomei, and therefore again I'll be chayv in Asham Taloi. I had a lapse of awareness. Case number two, I went down path number one, went into the Beis HaMikdash, afterwards purified myself, then went down path number two, and into the Beis HaMikdash. So again, opinion number one says I'm going to be chayiv. Why I both said, because Pashas, the truth is, at first glance, it's no different than the first case. Because here again, once again, I have a situation where I definitely, Tommy, I definitely entered into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah, and therefore should be Chayiv. Rabbi Shimon says, no, because by the time we get to the second path, there's an incomplete initial yediya. Why is there an incomplete initial yediya? Because in my mind, I'm thinking it's possible that maybe the first path was the tummy one. And again, I've remedied that tumma already. And therefore, maybe the second path is not tummy. Because there's an incomplete yediya, Rabbi Shimon will say, you're potter. They will say, watch this. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda poter bekulon mishum Rabbi Shimon. On the other hand, I will say, we now have Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda who says, you're potter in all cases. All of these cases will be potter. Okay, so we'll say, let's analyze this. So, Bekulon, so Gemara says, really? You'll be potter in all cases? We'll say, I'm a base. Va'afilo bikamaisa. We'll say, we're going to say that you're going to be potter even in the first case. We're going to say, what was the first case? The first case was, I went down path number one, didn't go into the Mikdash. Went down path number two, went into the Mikdash. So we'll say that case seems to be the easiest of all these cases. Why? Why? I'm definitely tummy. And at the end of the day, although I don't know which path, I know for sure one of the paths had Tumah, and I know for sure I went down both paths and I entered into the Beis HaMikdash. Why would you say Pater? So listen to this. So I say, Marav Shach, tummy who? Either way you cut it, at the end of the day, the guy is going to be tummy. In other words, he was tummy before he entered into the Beis HaMikdash, and he definitely entered the Mikdash in a state of Tumah. So how could Rav Shimon say that I'm Pater? Amarava, what's the case? Hachamai askinon kegon shahalach berishon, ubishah shahalach besheni, shachach shahalach berishon. Ooh, we'll say, watch this. What's the case over here? Rava says, the case over here is, I walked down the first path, okay, and then at the time that I walked down the second path, I forgot that I walked down the first. I will say, so what does that do for me? Dahav yilei miktsas yediya. See, Rabbi Osai, we presupposed that at the time when I'm walking down path number two, I remember that what? I walked down path number one. Which means, Rabbi Osai, that I have a complete idea because one thing I know, which is at the end of the day, now I am Tomei. Now I know bevados that I'm Tomei. Rabbi Osai, what happens afterwards is I forget about it and I enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Rav is suggesting over here, Rabbi Osai, that the case is when I walk down path number two, I forgot that I walked down path number one. Dahav yilei miktsas yediyo. Oh, and we'll say, therefore, what? It's only what? A partial yediyo. Partial knowledge. Rashi says, shachach shalom berishon, second line in Rashi, ve'ein kan ela miktsas yediyo. U'bahokam iflagi. And we'll say, here's the machlokes. Tanakama savar arminan miktsas yediyo kichol yediyo. So the Tanakama holds that what? Tanakama holds that miktsas yediyo is kichol yediyo. So Tanakama holds, we'll say that what? That a partial yediyah, partial knowledge, is good enough. Partial knowledge is the equivalent of whole knowledge. See, even though, again, I forgot when I'm walking down path number two that I walked down path number one, first of all, again, at the time I walked down path number one, I was aware. Also, again, when I walked down path number two, I'm aware. And partial knowledge is enough. Rashi says, Tanakama Savar, look at Rashi. Tanakama Yiv Darbi Shimon Shapote Behiza Vishana Veina Pote Vishana Savar. Keva de Tumas Vadaihu, Afa gav the Ihu lo yoda lakulu, that they have the Yedias Vada el Yedias Safek, Adifa hi mehanach Yedios Safek, the Hiza Vishana, the Hassam yoda le lakula milsa, Bafi loachi Safeku, Avahacha, I have a le lakula milsa, have the Yedia Vados, Hilchach lav Yedias Safeki, el Miktas Yedia Vados, Umiktas Yedia Kahol Yedia. So I'll say ultimately again, without getting into all the intricacies over here, but the Tanakama is going to suggest, Rav Osai, that as long as all of the knowledge is bona fide knowledge, the fact that at some point in time I am forgetful of some of the knowledge, that's enough. So Yediyah b'miktsas is called Yediyah. The fact that I forgot about path number one at the time that I'm walking down path number two, that's fine. Rabbi Shimon says, no, lo amrinan miktsas yediyah kechol yediyah. But on the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says, no, we do not say miktsas yediyah kechol yediyah. But rather, again, the halacha is, if you don't have complete knowledge, then halacha l'maaseh, again, that is a chisaron in the yediyah, and therefore, ultimately, again, you can't become tamei. So we'll say, therefore, Rabbi Shimon holds, then halacha l'maaseh, if I forget about path number two, while I'm walking down path number one, that is a chisaron, that is a lacking in the yediyah, and therefore what? That's why he holds that I'll be potter.
So the Gemara says, Halach Berisha. So both say, so fine. If we stop here for just a moment, we're just explaining the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda holds that even in case number one, we're going to be Pater. Now we thought case number one was the simplest one. Case number one was where what? I walked down path number one. Then I walk down path number two, and then I enter into the Beis HaMikdash. So both say, that seems to be the pashat of all of the cases, the most pashat of all of the cases. Of course I'm going to be chayiv, because I'm walking into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah. Of course, again, remember, at the time I walk into the Mikdash, I have a lapse of awareness about my tumah. That's why ultimately, again, I'm going to be chayiv in Asham Tadoi. Rabbi Shimon says, no, what's the case over here? You're even pashat in this case. Why? Because the case over here is where I forgot about path number one at the time I was walking down path number two. It's what's called the miktsas yediya, partial awareness. The machlokas is partial awareness the equivalent of total awareness or not? Machlokas Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda and the Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says, no, that's why you're patur even in case number one. Tanakama says, yes, that's why you're chayiv in case number one. Watch this, let's go back there. Halach Barisha Menichnas, so we'll listen to this. Now we go to case number two. What was case number two? Halach Barisha Menichnas. So we'll say this. Case number two is, we'll call him Reuven. Reuven went down path number one, and what happened? He enters into the Beis HaMikdash. Afterwards, he's a Vishana V'Tavol. Then he does the whole process of the Paraduma, purifying himself. Chazar V'Halach B'Sheni. Then he goes down path number two. V'Nichnas. Then he goes into the Beis HaMikdash. Chayiv. Ultimately, again, he's going to be Chayiv, according to Tanakama, for inadvertent Tumah violation. Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon says that you're Poter. V'amai chayiv, but I don't understand. Now we're asking what's on the Tanakama. Ultimately, again, why should you be chayiv? Safek yediyahi. We both say, now this is not a case of miktsas yediyah. This is a case of safek yediyah. Right? They both say, safek yediyah means what? Means what? I don't know. Meaning, at the end of the day, because I don't know which path was tameh, remember, let's play this out. If path number one was tameh, then what? Then what? So remember, again, I've already taken care of that because at the end of the day, I've already done the process of the paraduma. If path number two is tameh, then I'm going to be chayiv. So what's going on over here? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Kan asu safek yediyah ki yediyah. Rabbi Yochanan holds that in this case, the Rabbanan ultimately made a safek yediyah like a complete yediyah. That the Rabbanan hold in this case, safek yediyah is like full yediyah. And therefore, again, the Rabbanan will say that you will be chayiv.
I mean, did he enter twice or once?
He entered twice. Each time he entered after number one. But again, the difference over here is after number one, he goes ahead and he purifies himself. We're now focused now on number two. So now number two, after he goes in, the shayla is, has he violated tumah or not? Has he violated tumah or not? So remember again, and it's a suffix, because even after number one, there was a suffix tumah. He remedied the suffix tumah through the process of the paraduma. So the shaila is now, what's happened after number two?
Is there conditional remedy?
Yeah, it's called Asham Taloi. Paraduma, you could do. Anyone could do paraduma. You could, yeah. So the answer is yes. You could do paraduma even if you're not sure if you became tameh. For a simple reason, there's no carbon there. There's no company. I'm taking ashes of the paraduma, which Papachos was offered already. They had like a repository of these ashes, so I could do it. Correct. So the Gemara says the following. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Kind of safek yediyah kidiyah. So we'll say Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that here the Rabbanan made a safek yediyah like a complete yediyah. Reish Lakish Amar Hamani Rabbi Shmuli. Reish Lakish is a different interpretation. Reish Lakish says, who's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan? Is this Rabbi Shmuel? Do Amar lo ba'ini yediyah betchila. Ah, Rabbi Yochanan says this is even more dramatic. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that you do not require yediyah betchila. We saw the shita earlier, and even though you don't need, so therefore, because you don't need yediyah betchila, therefore, after what's you can be chayiv in asham taloi even without yediyah betchila. Okay. So here's the problem: we're going to pose a contradiction between the shitos of Rabbi Yochanan and the shitos of Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, "How so? This sanya." Achol safek chelev. Listen to this interesting case. A person eats safek chelev. I'm going to say, what does this mean? Person eats a piece of fat. And what happens? Rashi says, achol safek chelev, chaticha safek chelev, a safek shuman. A person eats a piece of meat, and it's a safek. Was it chelev, or was it shuman? Chelev is asur, shuman is permitted. What's that, lacha? Vinoda, and then ultimately again Rashi says, Vinoda lo la'achras man shaya safek shehu safek chelev v'haru ba'asham talui v'chazer v'achal safek chelev v'noda lo sha safek chelev achal. So what happens, Rabbi say? Here's the interesting case. I go ahead and I eat a piece of meat. And what happens? Vinoda. Then it becomes known to you. And Rabbi say, now what becomes known to me? See, at the time I ate it, I thought what? I was eating a piece of, just a stamp piece of meat. It becomes known to me afterwards that what? That it's a suffix. It's a suffix. The case over here, both say, is Vinodal Achar's Manshu suffix chaylev. Later on, it becomes known to you, by the way, that piece of flesh that you ate, it might have been chaylev. It might have been chaylev. Let's say what happens. So watch this. Vinoda. Suffix chaylev, Vinoda. They both say, let's say again, the same thing happens again. Just have bad mazel. Same thing happens again. Right? I'm drawn to all the wrong things. So what happens? I eat another piece of meat, and it becomes known to me later on again that it's a suffix. So both say, in this case, what's happening over here? In this case, at the time that I'm eating it, I think that's what? Totally permitted. It then becomes known to me afterwards, that what I have consumed may have been chilev. So now I have repeated events of suffix situations. Rebbe Omer will say, you don't understand, some people spend their life in the realm of suffix. Some people are never really sure. Some people, again, always live in this world of gray, where maybe I'm right, maybe I'm not right, and some people just don't pay attention. Unfortunately, Ma'isim v'chol yom. So this guy's just eating meat. He's eating meat, and then it becomes known, maybe it's chilev, maybe it's not chilev. So what's the halacha? Rebbe Omer, so obviously in a case like this where I'm not sure if I did something prohibited, the normal remedy is what? Normal remedy is what? Asham taloi. Remember again, this has been our topic right now. We have a specific karban to be able to remedy doubtful situations. So watch this. Rebbe Omer, kishem shemevi chatos al kol echad ve'echad. Rebbe say, this is going to be a little bit of a strange statement which you're going to have to interpret. Rebbe says, the same way that a person could bring multiple chatos offerings for individual averos, so therefore again, I'm sorry, kishem, I lost the place. Kishem shevi chatos al kol echad ve'echad, kach mevi asham talui al kol echad ve'echad. So what Rebbe seems to say is that what? Is that halacha l'maisa, the same way that if I actually ate chelev multiple times, what would be the halacha? I bring multiple chatas offerings. So too, in this case where it's been safek chelev multiple times, then what? I'll bring multiple asham talois. Multiple asham talois. So the Gemara says the following. Reb Shimon Yehuda. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Amru, Mishram Bishimon, Eino maybe Ela Asham Taloi Echad. No, you only bring one Asham Taloi. Shene Emar, Al Shigagoso Asher Shagag. The Pasuk says, literally, Al Shigagoso Asher Shagag, I don't know the good English translation for this, for his accidents that he has accidented. You know, that's not the right English, but you understand. Right? Al Shigagoso, so I say, what's the idea? Hatora Ripsa Shgogos Harbe Va Asham Taloi Echad. The way the Pasuk Abosai is worded, that's what? Is that one Asham Talui could go ahead and take care of many different shgogos. So the fundamental machlokus over here is that what? What happens if I've gone ahead and inadvertently violated multiple averos? So I should say differently. What I've done is not inadvertently violated. I have potentially inadvertently violated multiple averos. So do I bring a separate Asham Talui for ultimately, again, one? For do I bring separate Asham Talois for each infraction, or does one Asham Taloi take care of everything? So we'll say, Rebbe seems to be of the opinion that one brings a separate Asham Taloi for each and every infraction, whereas Rebbe Shimon says no, that ultimately, again, one Asham Taloi has the ability to remedy multiple infractions. Vam Reish Lakish, Kan Shana Rebbe, here Rebbe has taught the idea, Yedios Sfekos Mischalkos Lechatos. See, Rebbe is taught us the principle that the dios svekos, that Rebbe say, which means a person has multiple svekos, a person has multiple potential yedios, mischalkos lechatos. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi just a moment. Kanshan Rebbe yedios svek mechalkos lechatos. Vachikam Rebbe. Kishi yodol la'achras man shechilev haya. If a person realizes later on that, in fact, what he consumed was chilev, Yavi chatas akol echad ve'echad. He ultimately has to bring a separate chatas on every single chilev consumption. So let's say this happened to Reuven three times. Right? So what happens? Each time he consumes a piece of meat. At the time he consumed it, he thought it was what? Permitted, totally permitted. And then what happens? It turns out that it's prohibited. So what happens? He is chayv chatos for each and every one of those infractions, Rashi says. So I'm finishing Rashi. Yavi chatos akol echad ve'echad, shi'edias safek shayselo ben sayim, mischalkum, deloni habi shnei zeisei chayla ben lemachad. So I just want to point out over here, this is a different kind of case. In this case over here, there's like three stages. Stage number one is consumption. What was my awareness at the time of consumption? What was my awareness? I thought it was permitted. Piece of meat. Then what happens, Rabosai? Stage two is what? Somebody told me that what? Maybe. That potentially it was chaylev. Step number three is that what? I found out it was chaylev. So I say this is very interesting. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, according to Rebbe, the following halacha is true. According to Rebbe, Rabosai, that intermediary step of finding out that what? That it was potentially chaylev has the ability to go ahead and divide each of these active consumptions into a separate act, which means that when I then find out that in fact it was chaylev that I consumed, I will be chayiv ultimately again three times. They both say, no, what's the novelty here? The novelty here is what happens if you go ahead and you're just on like a chaylev kick, right? You have a chaylev kick, and what happens? I eat three pieces of meat, and it turns out that all three of them were chaylev. What's the halacha? So they both say, b'pasha some chayiv once. Because anytime you commit repeated infractions in one halam, one lapse of awareness, you're only going to be chayiv once. What Rebbe is suggesting about Rabbi Yehuda is the following, that these are reckoned as three independent acts. That since at the end of the day there was consumption, then suffic awareness, then vaday awareness, the suffic awareness creates each individual act, or casts each individual as an individual act, and therefore again generates individual liability. Look at that Rashi again. Kan shana Rebbe yedios suffic. The fact that I had that moment of also where what? Someone told me that what? A suffic awareness. Maybe what you're eating is chaylev. This is amazing. That mechalkos lechatos. That creates individual awareness for chatos. So we're supposed to hear this chav? Hear this chav? Okay, no. Anybody excited about this? Is this at all good? Okay, so look at Rashi. Rashi Sylvia, Aaron, you with me with this? It's great, no? Excellent, thank you. Kan shana Rebbe yedios safek mechalkos lechatos. Rosh, look at Rashi. Vachik kama Rebbe kishiyodelo la'achar zman shechelev haya. Rosh, after he finds out later on that it's chelev, yavi chatos akol echad ve'echad. He has to bring a chatos for every single chelev consumption. Why? Sheyedias safek shehaiselo ben sayim mischalkam. Because Rosh saying what happens is, after the act of consumption, there was another stage where what? I was alerted to the fact that maybe, it was chaylev. So that awareness, that suffix awareness, ultimately what does what Rabbi Osai? Goes ahead and splits up each act into its own individual ma'isah. It's not like eating two kizesim of chaylev in one lapse of awareness. So this is amazing. The same way I'll have to bring, at least according to one opinion, a separate asham toloi, according to Rebbe, a separate asham toloi on each act, so too again, the suffix awareness also creates or casts each act as his own independent individual maisa. Because of that, when I then come to learn later on that in fact I have consumed chelev, I will have to bring a separate chatos for each and every maisa. Rabbi Yochanan, will say, Kishim shiyidios vaday ba'alam eschalkos lechatos. And Rabbi Yochanan will say that ultimately the same way that a yidia vados goes ahead, meaning a definitive yidia, generates an obligation for a chatos. Kach yidios safek mischalkos la'ashamos. So to Rabbi say, ultimately a potential idea safek goes ahead and creates individual obligation for asham talois. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Yochanan Amar lo amar Rabbi kach el kach perusha kishem shalinyin chatos sheba'in al yidias vaday. Yidias vaday sheben say mischalkos lechatos kach linyin asham taloi haba yidias safek safek yidios sheben say mischalkos la'ashamos. So both say, Rabbi Yochanan will say, so the same idea is by asham taloi, that by asham taloi the yidias safek, the potential awareness that I did something wrong in between each act, also cast them as individual acts and will generate an independent obligation for an Asham Tadli for each. Bishlama, so we'll say we seem to have a contradiction here. So Bishlama, Rabbi Yochanan, Ad Rabbi Yochanan Lo Kashya. So Rabbi Yochanan is not contradicting himself. Why? Kan Asu Vilo Bechalato Rakula Asu. It's only over here, Rabosai, by Asham Taloi, that we say that a Safek Yediya is Mechayiv. But that concept does not apply by Kala Torah Kula. It's because over here, Rabbi say awareness is not written explicitly. We learn out from the word venelam, it is hidden from him. But ultimately, again, in the rest of the Torah, Rabbi say, in order to generate obligation, one requires explicit yediyah. Rabbi say it is unique over here. Only in this particular situation of Asham Taloi do we say that even a lack of clear awareness generates liability. By the rest of the Torah, one requires explicit yediyah in order to generate liability. Ela v'Reish Lakish ademokim l'Rabbi Yishmael nuch mikirabi. The current Reish Lakish, instead of setting it up like Rabbi Yishmael, why don't you establish it like Rabbi? Hakamashal Rabbi Yishmael lo bayi yediyah b'tchila. Chazal are coming to reinforce the idea which we ended off the previous Gemara with, that Rabbi Yishmael does not require yediyah b'tchila. So pshita. The word venelam is already used for an additional drasha, and therefore ultimately again it is not left over for the drasha that you require hella mikdash. So I've said Kardu Bishmal ki less le mikroi aval migmara islay. I would have thought that perhaps again it's right. Rabbi Shmuel can't prove that you require yediyah betchila from a pasuk, but maybe as gemara, in other words, maybe as a tradition, kamashmalo Rabbi say that Rabbi Shmuel does not require yediyah betchila. Hajun Allah yediyah satam. Rabbi say mazel tov. Let's start the mishnah. Shvuah shtayim shein arba. Rabbi say let's begin this at least. So Rabbi say new parak. Shvuah shtayim shein arba. So this is going to get you thought. You thought that the last two prakim were like edge of your seat Talmudic roller coaster. Just wait, what's in store now? Shavuos. So we'll say we've mastered Karbanos. Mamshi mastered Karbanos. Now Shavuos. Wait, Menachem. Two more lines. Two more lines, and we're going to stop. I promise. Shavuos time. I don't want you to miss the Mishnah. Shavuos time. Shein Arba. So we'll say, listen to this. Shavuos. So we'll say oaths. There are two oaths, there are two which are really for, going back ultimately again to the first Mishnah. What are the two oaths? There are two that we're talking about Shvuas Bitoy. Shvuas Bitoy is a declarative Shvua. You declare something. Two biblical ones are both said are what? are ultimately lahaba, are dimash lahaba. So we'll say they are two Shvuas that are future tense, which we will discuss as a Shvua I will eat, or a shvua I won't eat. There are two declarative shvuas about something I will do or I won't do, which then yields two more, which is what Rabbi Osai, past 10 shvuas. Shvuas of I did eat or I did not eat. Shvua sha'ochal v'shvua achal. So the two biblical oaths, and we'll discuss where all this comes from. The biblical oaths are a shvua that I will eat and a shvua that I won't eat. And the two derivative oaths, both are past tense, shachalti v'shelo achalti, a shvua that I did eat or a shvua that I did not eat. So we'll say these are always called shvuas bitui. Shvua shelo ochal v'achal ba kol shu chayiv to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, if you take a shvua, if you swear, I swear I will not eat, and you eat any amount, you're chayiv. Or as we'll say, Rabbi Kiva's novel idea is that what? Under normal circumstances, when it comes to Isuri Achila are governed by what Shira Bosai? A Kizayis. Here Rabbi Kiva says, if you make a Shavua not to eat something and you eat something, any amount, you're going to be chayiv. Amar le Rabbi Kiva, Akiva, hey, Atushma, this is exciting. Heicha matzinu bo'ocha koshu chayiv. Rabbi Akiva, what are you talking about? Where do we ever see an Isra Achila where if you just eat any amount, any minute amount, that you're going to be chayiv? In other words, they say, according to Rabbi Kiva, this Shavua should be governed by normal Isra Achila. Normal Isra Achila, you only chayiv if what? If you eat a kizayis. How can you say that if I make a Shavua that I'm not going to eat, and I eat any amount, I'm going to be chayiv? So Amar la, heicha matzinu bo'ocha koshu shu chayiv, shezeh chayiv. Amar Elohim Rabbi Akiva, v'chi heicha matzino b'medaber u'mevi karban, sheze medara mevi karban. Oh, Rabbi Akiva gets them good. And Rabbi Akiva says, one second, this is different, because where do you ever see that saying something could generate liability to bring a karban. I was supposed to say, under normal circumstances, in all other areas of halacha, dibur is what? Dibur is what? Dibur is inconsequential. In all other areas of halacha, Rabbi will say, it is maisa, it is actions that are the determinant. Rabbi Akiva says, by shvua, we see the concept that an utterance, a declarative statement, could generate not only a new reality, can not only create new realities for me, but what? Actually generates a karbanic liability. So Rabbi Akiva says, what do you see from here? You see that when it comes to shvuas, these halachas are different. You're right, under normal circumstances, an Isra Achila is governed by Kizayis, but ultimately over here, the same way that a Shvuah has the ability to generate a karbanic liability just simply through what? Just simply through a speech, the Rabbi Kiva wants to demonstrate that ultimately the halachos by Shvuah will also be dramatically different than halachos by Kol HaTorah Kula. We'll stop over here, but let me ask Hashem, pick up with the Gemara tomorrow.